I'd like to welcome everybody here this morning. If you would, turn in your Bibles over to John chapter 20. And we will be reading in just a minute from John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. It's good to see everybody here this morning, and it's good to be back. I went to the Florida college lectureship, which is fun. I mean, it's fun and it's educational, and I highly recommend it just for immersing yourself in some very serious study of God's Word. And this year's theme was about the signs or the miracles that Jesus did, or I think he said the works that nobody else could do. And so having listened to the lectures, I got the book. Yes, I got you a book. I got the book. So you may rest assured that I will shamelessly steal ideas, thoughts, and whatnot from those lectures and probably not give proper credit. But if you hear anything intelligent out of me for the next 6 months, you probably know it came from some smart guy who gave a lecture. But I wanted to touch on that. And today, my lesson is titled Signs, Signs, and Signs. I was going to call it Signs, Signs, Everywhere a Sign, but that's a line from a 1960s song that is not a great song, so I didn't choose to give it that title. But what you can say, if you're so inclined, is that the preacher went to Florida for the lectureships and all you got was this lousy lesson. So, you didn't get that joke? Have you ever seen the T-shirt that says, my parents went to Hawaii and all I got was this T-shirt? Okay. All right, let's get on. John 20, 30 through 31. Very quickly. Therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. Most of the time, when you're going to write something, you kind of do a summary, an abstract, if you will, at the beginning. John puts his at the end, and this is really the summary statement of why he's writing the book and what he's trying to communicate. He is sharing a number of signs that Jesus performed so that we can believe, and that in believing, we can have life in His name. And that's the purpose of the book. And it helps us understand not just John's book, but the whole idea of signs altogether. John recorded 7 specific signs that he talks about to prove his point. The other gospel accounts record even more. In fact, John ends his book one page over. He ends his book like this. And this is the disciple who is testifying to these things and wrote these things. And we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, which if they were written in detail, I suppose that even the world itself would not contain the books that would be written. Maybe a little exaggeration for effect there. If you wrote down in detail every second of Jesus' life, you could certainly make the books. But the point he's trying to make is that Jesus did a lot. And the signs that Jesus did were designed to demonstrate or to prove that he was who he claimed to be. And who did he claim to be? One, he claimed to be God. And two, he claimed to be the Messiah that had been promised and that was coming into the world. One of the signs that Jesus did should have been sufficient. But taken together, there can be no doubt that Jesus' claim is accurate. Just quickly, the 7 signs that John did, if you're wondering, he changed the water into wine. He healed an official's son. He healed a sick man at the pool of Bethsaida. He fed 5,000 near the Sea of Galilee. He walked on water. He healed a man born blind. And he raised Lazarus from the dead. And those were the seven signs. And the eighth sign that he performed, of course, was his resurrection from the dead, where Paul would say in Romans chapter 1 that he was proven to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. We call signs by other names, miracles and wonders. Sometimes those three words are used together. Hebrews 2, 3 and 4 says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was at the first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard, God also testifying with them both by signs and wonders and by various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit according to His own will." And so you see those words all together, and they kind of capture different aspects. In the first century, the signs that Jesus performed, and even the signs that were performed by His apostles, were, as a general rule, miraculous in nature. And the idea of a miracle, that word miracle has the idea of God exercising His power in the world in a way that could not happen normally. Notice I didn't say that we can't explain. A lot of things happen that we can't explain. But what a miracle is Jesus or one of the apostles or somebody that had been gifted with something doing something that simply could not happen. Like walking on the water. Like calming the storm in Mark 4. When Jesus stands up at the end of the boat and He simply commands the sea to be quiet. Peace, be still. And the sea is quiet. And so we see these as miracles and many other miracles as well. A sign is a pointer, if you will. And when we see the sign, we need to recognize what that sign is pointing to. For example, you see a stop sign. That stop sign is pointing you to the fact that you need to stop your car, because if you don't, you're going to get a ticket. And when you get the ticket, the police officer is going to say, "Didn't you see the sign?" Right? Well, seeing the sign is pointless if you don't stop the car. Speed limit signs, right? We ignore speed limit signs, but they're there. And they tell us how fast we are allowed to drive. Here's how signs help validate. You want to go to the library, and you walk into a building, and you ask somebody, maybe the security guard, and you say, "Can you tell me where the library is?" And he says, "Yeah, the library is right down that hallway." And you go, "Well, how can I know you're telling me the truth?" And he points to the wall and says, "See the sign that says library right down the hallway? The sign points to the library, but it also points to the truth of what the guy was saying." And so that's kind of the idea of signs. Jesus' signs pointed to His deity. They demonstrated without fail that He had the power of God at His hand. They pointed to His Messiahship. His signs that He did demonstrated without question that He fulfilled every prophecy, every promise that had been made concerning the coming Messiah. And the people refused to listen. They refused to see. Jesus, when He commissioned His apostles, He gave them the ability to perform signs. And those signs confirmed the truth of what the apostles were saying and the authority by which they spoke, demonstrating that, one, they had been in fact sent by Christ, and two, that they were speaking the Word of God. Spiritual gifts that were bestowed upon various Christians by the apostles, by the laying on of the apostles' hands, were signs. In 1 Corinthians 14:22, it says that tongues, that is the speaking in tongues, are for a sign. Not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. We can discuss what that means, but the point is that speaking in tongues, along with other miracles, as we already read in Hebrews chapter 2, were signs demonstrating the truth of God's message, the truth of His resurrection, and the truth of our salvation. In the first century, by and large, signs were miraculous in nature. That's kind of the general thing. The miracles have ceased. The miracles were a first century phenomenon that were in place to bring about the completed revelation of God's Word. And when that was done, the miracles had passed away into history. But the signs haven't. And I want to conclude this morning's lesson with just this thought. Even though the miracles are gone, and they're in the past, now we can read about them, and if we believe the word that we read, we can see those miracles performed every time we read them and understand what they were pointing us to. But signs continue today. In Philippians 1:27-30, Paul says this, "Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, in no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you. And that too from God. For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake, experiencing the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me." Their willingness and their courage to stand firm in the face of opposition was a sign. And if people cared to see it, they would recognize that that sign demonstrated the truth of what they were standing firm for, which meant destruction for the enemies of God and salvation for those who obeyed and trusted God. And that principle applies today. When we stand up for what God wants us to be, how He wants us to live, and people see that, it is a sign. It is a pointer to the truth of the gospel message that we preach. There are no more miracles today. Not in the sense that there were in the first century. And if we want to let people know that there is a God in heaven who wants to save, we're going to have to tell them. And if we want people to believe that message, then we're going to have to live consistent with what God has told us to do. And when we do that, it is a sign to these people that we are telling the truth, because our lives are consistent with the gospel that we preach. Matthew 5:14-16, you might be familiar with this. "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden." We are the light of the world. People will see God through us. I'm sorry, Siri. I had an example that I was going to give you, so I left this turned on, but I'm not going to give it. And whatever I said, Siri thought I was talking to her. We are the light of the world. It doesn't say be a light of the world. We are the light of the world. And if you think of a lighthouse, that lighthouse is a sign telling the seafarers what is around them and where they have to go. We are that light that shines into the world, that tells people that the gospel that we preach is true. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are out. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they see your good works and glorify God. They see us, and that leads them to glorify God. And John 13:35, he says this, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. And so I just want to conclude with this. We are God's sign to the world, because the message won't be preached if we don't share it. God's not going to come down with a giant spiritual megaphone and yell the message out. The message is spread by people, person to person to person. The way we live, the way we let our light shine, the way we love one another, the way we work together, the way we stand firm in the face of opposition, all tell people, if they're willing to listen to it, that the gospel message is real and that there is a God in heaven who wants to save them. The lesson is yours this morning. We are going to have an invitation song, and then we'll go ahead and close out our services, and then we've got a short business meeting after that. But I want to conclude with the invitation and say this. Jesus demonstrated by signs, wonders, and miracles, he calls them the works that he does, that he is the Son of God, that he is the Messiah who was promised, that he is the Savior of the world, and that if we will trust him and obey him, then we can have the hope of salvation. If you're not a Christian today, understand Jesus did not leave any doubt as to who he is and what he promises. If you're ready to render faithful obedience to Christ this morning, we can baptize you this morning. If you're not, but you want to study it further, we can do that as well. And if you are a Christian and you're struggling, understand that there is no doubt as to who God is. There is no doubt that there is an eternity with God waiting for those who will stand firm. So if you are struggling in any way, shape, or form, have the opportunity now to let those needs be known so that we can help one another walk through this life together. So we'll sing the invitation song at this time.